Support for The Front Porch comes from WVCarFinder.com, matching West Virginia cars with West Virginians who want to buy them. It's a service of the Charleston Gazette-Mail. More at WVCarFinder.com. And you're on The Front Porch. I'm Lori Lynn, filling in for host Scott Finn. Where is Scott this week, Rick? Do you know?
Lori, I believe he's auditioning for the title role of Titus Andronicus with the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Wow, fantastic. Best of luck, Scott.
Yeah.
And I'm here, of course, with my friend Rick Wilson, as always, of the American Friends Service Committee. This week, we're going to be talking about sugar. Is it poison? Are Oreos as addictive as heroin? Are food companies threatening the health of our kids the way tobacco companies did in the past? Joining us this week is West Virginian Mandy Curry. She's a blogger, speaker, and the co-founder of Healthy Kids, Inc., which is a meal planning and cooking tool that helps busy families feed their kids better. Hi, Mandy. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, thank you so much.
So some of that provocative Oreos heroin stuff is from a popular documentary that came out recently called Fed Up. Mm-hmm. Katie Couric produced it and narrates it. And we're going to be talking a lot about that on this podcast because we've all seen it, made a big impression on us. Kind of the takeaway from that, at least as I saw it, was fat used to be public nutrition enemy number one. And the thinking on that has shifted. And now sugar has taken the place. So can you kind of walk us through how that happened?
For sure. Yeah, there are a couple of really great takeaways from the Fed Up movie, and that is a very big one. And that is the idea of this low-fat trend. So when, you know, fat was demonized, then obviously as we take fat out of the foods, we have to replace it with something, and sugar was put back in. And so now today we have 600,000 food items in the grocery store, and 80% have added sugar to them. And that's the problem that we're in today, is that we are just consuming so much more sugar than ever before. And obviously, it's causing a lot of our illnesses that we have. It's causing obesity. And so that's a lot of our initiative, is that we are now working with students and teens across the state on this message, to really get this message out, and using the Fed Up movie as the starting point of that.
How did we get so mixed up? I mean, what we now think that fat is better, at least some fats, what we call healthy fats, right? So, I mean, how did we go so far afield with the science of it?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. And actually, an article just came out in the Gazette today talking a little bit about that as well.
I wonder who wrote that.
Yeah. So, but you're right. I mean, sometimes it is funded research. And sometimes in this research that came out that was generated in the 60s was actually from the sugar industry. And what has come out is that the sugar industry was really kind of pointing the finger at fat. And that's how, you know, fat became demonized as a result of that. So the attention was put on fat. And now we're starting to see the other side of it.
I really wish Scott was here today, because the sugar industry people subsidized some professors from what university? It wasn't Marshall, because that's the one I went to. It was Harvard.
Harvard.
Yeah. Scott's alma mater. Yeah, that just came to me. What a coincidence.
I grew up, you know, in the 80s and 90s with that low fat. I remember in college, my roommate was dieting, and she had these things called Snackwells. Do you remember these?
Oh,
or these
I do.
Cookies?
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
It was like Nabisco or Kraft. Yeah. And they were low fat, and they had this green package. And you know, I didn't look at the time. I wasn't really into it, but I'm sure they were just crammed with sugar. They were cookies and plenty of calories, but because they were low fat, it was kind of this diet food.
Or the 100 calorie snacks. I mean, how you saw those start to pop up. I mean, we're eating our weight in 100 calorie snack packs because they're not filling. Because we've taken all the fat out, there's nothing to hold us over, so we just eat more and more and more. It's kind of like the mom that I talked to recently. She said, you know, my son can eat 3 bowls of cereal. Well, it's, you know, it's Fruity Pebbles and low fat milk. There's nothing there to hold him over. So you're just hungry right after.
So you showed this documentary to a bunch of West Virginia kids. What was that like? What was the feedback that you got?
Sure. So it was it was interesting how it all started. So the Fed Up movie was released in 2014. So we had a chance to hear them on an interview. We loved the movie so much, and it just resonated with us. And we said, you know what, we need to buy a movie for every school in the state. not really knowing what that would look like or how that would shape up, we were the only state that stepped up to that level. No other state in the country said, let's do this for every school in an entire state. You know, and it was very voluntary. I mean, this was not a mandatory. I mean, any teacher who wanted it could get this. So as a result, we have about 350 teachers across the state who have asked for a copy and received a copy of the movie and curriculum, which represents about 200 schools. So we picked out a couple of those schools and we actually followed them on their journey because we wanted to see, is this really making a difference? And we stuck with primarily middle and high schools. And so it represented about 1,000 students that we interacted with over the course of that time. So we filmed them watching the movie and you could just see just the emotion in their face over it. After that, we started to, you know, just have open discussion with them. And at every school, that discussion looked a little bit different. What they said was just, I mean, it was so moving. I mean, it was students who said, you know, middle schoolers who said, we're better than this. I mean, we're better than this. We can do better. And, you know, they are the generation that is most impacted by this. I mean, they are the ones who are predicted to have a shorter lifespan than us. And so they're saying, we want to do something about it. And so from that, it has sparked this student-led movement across the state of teens saying, I want to be a part of it, and I care, and I want to do something. We saw the same similar trends in every school of what they were looking for. Across the board, they all said, we would love to grow our own food. They wanted to control that process. And then we said, okay, well, who would be more likely, you know, would you really eat it if you grew it? I mean, you know, 90% of hands go up and say, yes, I would absolutely eat it if we grew it. I mean, they're asking for, you know, can we get spinach on the salad bar? And, you know, I remember one middle school student saying, I would love it if we had asparagus and squash on the salad bar. But in addition to that, the students are also saying, set my environment up to where I can only succeed. Don't set me up for failure by giving me the option between chocolate milk and water. Because I'm going to choose chocolate milk every time. Laura and I were at one of the schools and they had a choice between a corn dog and a really healthy entree. And the students even said, gosh, I mean, if you give me that choice, I'm going to choose the corn dog every time. Like, just give me the healthy choice as the only choice. And so that's what they're asking. They don't want to be set up for failure. I mean, set my environment up to where I can succeed.
You know, if you're eliminating sugar and carbs, they don't really talk so much about carbs that aren't processed sugar. They kind of allude to, you had the guy saying, well, a bowl of non-sweetened cornflakes is mm-hmm. the same as just a bowl of sugar. But, you know, there are two other macronutrients. There's fat and there's protein. And that is, for most people who aren't vegetarians, and I'm not knocking vegetarians. I was a vegetarian for 17 years.
Really?
For most people, it's going to entail more meat consumption, which is more expensive. A lot of times, maybe not as good for the environment, depending on what kind of meat you're eating. What are the implications of that?
So I'll go back to the movie a little bit, because you're right. The one thing the movie doesn't do as much is talk about now what's next. And so
right.
We saw the students say that, okay, you have made me frustrated. Now I'm mad.
Now
I want
to
do something, but what do I do?
Right.
Like, yeah. And so they're asking for, now give me the positive messages. How do we fix this? And So really the big takeaway from that, you know, and Dr. Jeffrey uses this a lot, it's that notion of 5-2-1-0. So five mm-hmm. is five fruits and vegetables a day. If you can get five fruits and vegetables in a day and make that your focus and not focus on what you're pulling out, because then it becomes a diet. If you're focusing on what you're putting in, everything else starts to work itself out. So if you can find a way to get five fruits and vegetables, primarily vegetables, I mean, that's really the key of what this comes down to, then everything else starts to play out. And you find that, okay, I'm eating a little less of the, you know, of the processed stuff and a little less of the junk. And so then it becomes really easy.
So five is the fruits and vegetables. And then what's the next one?
So two is 2 hours or less of screen time. One is at least 1 hour of physical activity, which I think is becoming a little bit more common. I think we're finding that. Zero is zero sugary drinks. Pretty simple. So generally when we're working with parents, it's if you can focus on the five and focus on the zero, those are the two biggest areas I feel like you can make some great strides with and feel really good about it. Otherwise it gets really complicating, because then you have to start trusting, you know, the food labeling and what looks really good on the front. Then you flip it over and it looks terrible on the back.
So I'm reminded of Michael Pollan, you know,
yes,
wrote the book.
Yes.
What was his little mantra? Eat food, mostly vegetables,
yes.
Not too much, or something like
yes.
that.
Yes, right? Not too much meat.
Yeah,
yes,
mostly
vegetables.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Rick, I'm going to let you do your Bible verse for the week. But first, I'm going to note that I went through and counted at least 55 references in the Bible to honey. which, as we know, has the same effect on your body as sugar. So God is the original shill for fructose.
Yeah, probably, you know, you might have had something to do with salt and fat, too, at some point. You know what I was thinking of in chapter 3 of Ezekiel, which is a really trippy prophet, by the way. He would be heavily medicated today. You know, God gives him a scroll and says, "Son of man, take and eat." And he ate it. And it was the sweetest honey going in, but it didn't taste so good for a long term. So I'll just leave that image with you.
Thank you. And that's The Front Porch. We've been talking to Mandy Curry of Healthy Kids, Inc. Thank you so much, Mandy, for joining us.
Thank you. And this was so much fun. Thanks.
And thank you, Rick Wilson.
And thank you, Lori Lynn.
You can hear a longer version of this conversation and other conversations in podcast form on the web or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for WV Public Broadcasting Front Porch and you'll get more folksy stories from Rick, anti-government rants from me, and exasperated sighs from Scott. Check it out there. I'm Lori Lynn, filling in for host Scott Finn, and we'll catch you next week.